Welcome to That's Showbiz, Baby. I'm Geordie Lucas, founder and editor of It's All Her and an actress in a previous life.
And I'm Alexandria Fennell, former producer of some of Australia's most iconic TV shows.
From reality TV to soaps and everything in between, join us as we take a hilarious and unfiltered look at the scandals, absurdities and unforgettable moments from behind the scenes of Australian TV.
Because when it comes to the world of television, truth is often stranger than fiction.
It ain't always pretty and it ain't always fair, but
that's showbiz, baby!
Now that we have recapped what was a truly dramatic season of Married at First Sight, I want to sit down and put my journalist hat on and interview you, Alex.
Don't go too hard, please. Please. I'm so nervous.
So, of course, we have to preface this episode and I guess the whole podcast itself. These are our own views, our own experience, our own truth. We are not spokespeople or employees of
any production company whatsoever.
Yeah. So don't send a cease and desist letter to us, please. After episode number two.
By the end of the week.
Let's get into it, Alex.
Yeah.
Alexandria Fennell.
Fennell.
So I think something that a lot of contestants come out of Married at First Sight or any reality TV show, if they haven't found themselves with a great reception from the audience or, you know, if they haven't been perceived really well, they often blame it on the edit and they say that it's the editor's fault, it's the production's fault that they've been viewed this way. What do you have to say to that?
So my first thought about that is they always say it's the editors. What they don't understand is it's not the editors they're angry at, it's the post-producers. So every reality show has post-producers, which is more the story. We lay the story down and editors do the musicking, the vision, make it sing, polish it, whatever. But it's the post-producers they're angry at, not the editors. Yes, I'm the villain.
You are the problem.
I'm the problem. Hi, it's me.
So obviously we're a baby podcast and the audience is still getting to know you.
Yeah.
Can you tell us a bit about your, I feel like saying journey is very fitting we're talking about reality TV, but can you talk us through your journey into post-producing?
Yeah, well, as we said in our original episode, I have been in TV for 12 years, but I only worked in reality TV for a couple of years. And prior to that, I was a long-term fan of reality TV. Mm-hmm. And I think I was just as intrigued and engaged by it as the average audience. Just loved Maths, loved The Bachelor, MasterChef, all of it. And so when coming out of the pandemic, after working on the project during the pandemic for those years, I loved working on the project, but being in the news was quite full on. You could never turn off, the news cycle never ends. And obviously the news at the time was quite intense. Mm-hmm. And so I thought, I think I need a break from news. What's going to be really lighthearted and fun? And the opportunity to do a training program, a reality TV post-producing training program came along and I was like, yeah, I'll do that. And so I joined the ranks of a reality TV production company and learnt all how it works and loved it. So that's how I got into reality. And I ended up only staying for 2 years, which in TV land is kind of a long time. But I ended up choosing to leave. Mm-hmm. It was coming to the end of my TV tenure, I think. I was quite burnt out, quite exhausted, and reality TV is anything but a holiday. It's the opposite. It was like I thought live TV was hard, but reality TV is 10 times harder. It's just the standard, the turnaround, the workload, all of that was significantly harder. And so I ended up being like, I don't even know if I want to be in TV anymore. It actually made me give up on my one love, which is TV. Yeah. Yeah.
So tell me about the program.
Yeah, the training program. there are some really good things about it, in that it was like a great opportunity to sort of break into a world. It was like, I think it was like a designed as a cross-skilling program. So the idea was it was people who were already working in TV who were keen to get into reality or keen to sort of cross-skill or upskill. It's not really an upskill, it's like a cross-skill. Mm-hmm. And yeah, it was really full on and fun. And I used to joke that the program, as it was called, could be a show itself. It was like these reality TV producers are kind of getting trained to be reality TV producers, but it was like we were also on a reality show.
Yeah.
The way they kind of treat you is a little bit like a contestant. It's like, you're only as good as your last episode. You're only as good as your last pod. Like that actually is said to you. So you're just always like, and I guess like a screening is your verdict. It's mm-hmm. like, do you get to stay or do you go? Yeah. And if you do well in a screening, they're like, yes, you're through to the next round. Congratulations. We're going to offer you a contract. Like they treat you like that. And I know, won't someone spare a thought for the reality TV producers? but when the contestants are out banging on about their treatment, I'm like, welcome to television.
Yeah,
that's showbiz, baby. I was like, that is just kind of the way it is. And you essentially are told you need to suck it up or get out because there's plenty of people who'd be interested in taking your spot. And so that, the fear of that, makes people work so hard beyond what I would argue is reasonable.
And healthy.
It's a very, I think TV in general is quite unhealthy.
Yeah.
I would say reality TV is the most unhealthy production sort of to work for.
Yeah.
In general.
When you were talking about screeners just before, I remember the anxiety of screeners on Neighbours. You would know that the production and the producers were getting together to watch a week's worth of episodes on a Friday.
Yeah.
And you would know when they came out of that room whether they were happy or not.
Yeah.
And you would get the feedback of whether they were happy with you or not.
And, yes.
Oh, the first few screeners, I didn't get great feedback from the producers and the directors.
Oh, no.
And I, thought, This is over. I'm going to be shown the door. So it is really high pressure.
That is the way it is. And I think that it's, on one hand, it's an unavoidable element because you have to be performing and it's ruthless. But then on the other hand, I think there are ways that they can handle it in a more humane way potentially. One of the companies I worked for, they used to have something they call a firefighter. And a firefighter, I thought that was completely just a great term for someone that comes in and essentially if you do a bad job on your episode, no one tells you. No one's like, oh, look, you haven't. They just go, okay, so Samantha's going to be working on your episode now. If you could just hand your files over. And then you're just like, and they go, and you can go sit in the corner, like essentially. And they're called a firefighter. And I remember I told my mum this. I was like, oh, yeah, there's a firefighter there. And she was like, they may as well call that a you fucked up your job.
Yeah.
But that is just a
go sit in the naughty corner.
Yes. And that in no other world would that exist in any other industry where you've screwed up. We have an entire team of emergency services that are going to come in and clean up your
shit.
And to be fair, there are some, you do need a firefighter. They do need it. But I think it's funny that it's just like, called a firefighter?
Yeah.
it's not like a hidden thing. It's like, yeah, the firefighters are coming. Oh, that season's really struggling. We're going to put some firefighters on that.
Wow. And is the firefighter, I mean, obviously they'd be brought in for different reasons, but is some of it to create more drama?
I think they call it elevating and amplifying. I don't know if they say more drama. They say elevate, amplify. And so clarify, elevate, amplify is what they're trying to do. They're not trying to cause more drama. They're trying to create a more engaging story. And something I will say is the people that work in reality TV are the most intelligent, creative geniuses I've ever come across in the entire industry.
I mean, it is a completely different skill set.
Yes.
than being a post-producer on a scripted
yes.
drama, because with a script in front of you, you know mm-hmm. where it's heading, what the tone is, what the story is, everything is there yeah. for you.
Yeah.
Whereas, as you said, getting 70 hours of raw footage and you have to stitch that together in a mm-hmm. way that is compelling.
Yeah, it's challenging. I wouldn't say I took to it like a duck. What's the word? Like, I loved it in a lot of ways, but in order to become a really, really seasoned, good reality post-producer, it takes years.
Mm-hmm.
And I just didn't have that stamina to put up with it. It just, the output wasn't worth the input. But the people who do, they're like the true believers. They are the true believers. I'm going to sound like Paul Keating here, but
yeah.
here's one for the true believers. They are so passionate and so dedicated that they will fight for their shows. They will like almost lay themselves on the ground for their company.
Mm.
Like, they're true believers and they love it. And they think what they're doing is art. And I argue it is kind of an art form. Like, they're very creative. And some of those executive producers that I worked with, their brains, the way their brains can just like switch from one story to another, because they're just watching screening after screening after screening, and they have to have their heads across every single storyline,
yeah,
every nuance of every character. So their brains are just packed with information. So I was always quite impressed by that.
Mm. Obviously you have to care, and there has to be care involved mm-hmm. for the contestants.
Yeah.
But some of the behaviour that's exhibited on these shows, you must watch the footage and just know that this could potentially destroy someone's life.
Yeah.
This could destroy their ability to gain employment in mm-hmm. the future.
Yeah.
That's been a huge criticism
yeah.
from some of the past contestants. As a producer, when you're watching that, is there an element of guilt?
I'll just get my sleep app out and show you how well I sleep at night. No. I do feel guilty. I'm a pretty empathetic person. So, and I think that is also why I have struggled with reality TV and sometimes the cutthroat nature of TV in general. I am quite sensitive and empathetic, and
mm-hmm.
I do believe that people deserve chances and forgiveness, and that humans are nuanced.
Mm-hmm.
That being said, I think if people are really, really seriously worried about their employment, I wouldn't go on a national TV show of any kind and behave in that manner.
Yeah.
I think it's an odd thing that people think that you can go on one of those shows, behave in a certain way, and then not be held accountable for it.
Mm.
It seems like an odd way to be, in my opinion.
But is that perhaps a lack of self-awareness, that they don't actually realise that this is the way they are and they have had a mirror held up to them, but they're just still not
seeing it?
Seeing it.
Yeah, I can't speak for every reality TV contestant because I've only come across a few, but the whole bad edit thing is an interesting one to me, because I just don't think that it's as it does annoy me actually when contestants come out and they blame everything on the edit. I disagree with that.
Mm.
I disagree. I think bad behaviour is shown, and at most what they could maybe say is there's not always the full context to everything, I guess. That's like being taken out of context. I don't think things are completely taken out of context. I think there's just snapshots of what they did being shown, and people don't like seeing what their bad behavior played back to them, I guess. And then having, we've all done things in certain moments of stress and pressure where we're not necessarily proud of our behavior or our actions, but we don't always have a crew on us from the morning to the night capturing it.
Mm.
And so that is like the real risk that you run when you go on reality TV. You better make sure that you have full control over your nervous system, you don't react badly under pressure, and you have your wits about you, I guess you can try and be fake, but if you're just going to be yourself and yourself is to kind of be a whatever, to treat people in a certain way, that's not going to come across very well, is it?
No.
It's not like reality TV, like production executives sit in a room and they have, you know, a big thing on the wall and they say, who are we going to fuck up?
Yeah.
Who's the villain this season? It's not like that. It's led by what you see, and often you don't know what someone's going to be like. I feel I don't know casting at all, but I've been told that often casting people are cast as certain ways and they just are the complete opposite of what they portray themselves in the audition process. I think that's happened a few times. So yeah, in terms of going back to your question, which is, do I feel guilt or responsibility? If I were, I personally have never had to take anyone out of context or destroy someone's life. I personally haven't been faced with that dilemma. The closest I got was on my season. There was a contestant that I really liked. They were really a really good person, I believed, and they were paired with a really questionable match, in my opinion. And that person was quite mean to the contestant that I really liked. And that contestant put up with a lot, but then eventually retaliated in a way that didn't really bode well for them. And I remember as this was unfolding, I was like, oh, you're going to have to redeem this. How are you going to redeem this? Because this is not going to be good. Like, I was sad for them.
Yeah.
But, you know, it's kind of, they ended up redeeming themselves. They were okay. And I don't think the show ended up affecting them particularly at all. Mm-hmm. The bad edit. They do love to bang on about their bad edit, don't they?
The violins come out.
Yeah, yeah. But the other thing I'd ask people to think about when there's a former contestant talking about the bad edit, they're not being edited anymore. They're not being produced. They're just out in the wild.
Yeah.
How often is the way they are now extremely different to the way they were on the show?
Yeah.
Often it's pretty similar.
Yeah.
They kind of just show their true colors anyway.
Mm.
And they're showing their true colors by saying, it's the edit, it's the edit, it's the edit, whilst proving the edit right.
Yeah.
I think, I mean, I can't think of anyone specific, but it's not very often that somebody is the villain and then they come out and they turned out to be this really awesome
saint.
Saint. Like, do they? Can you think of anyone?
The only one is Abby Chatfield.
Oh, yeah, true. Abby, yeah, yeah, yeah.
But I don't think she was necessarily painted as the villain. She was painted as a slut.
Horny.
Yeah.
She was just horny.
And I think production tried to lead the audience down this garden path of,
yes,
isn't she just so gross? Slutty. She is such a slut.
Yeah.
But actually, that audiences were now, like, that's empowering. She's
awesome.
Yeah.
I love Abby Chatfield.
So do
she's
I.
She's hilarious.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I guess I could see. Oh, yeah, no, I vaguely remember that season when I was watching that. I was a fan. They were saying, like, she's not a girl's girl. She's just here. And I remember her, I feel like one of her pieces to camera, she was like, I'm not here to make friends. I'm here to have a thing with this guy.
Find a relationship.
Yeah. And I feel like now that storyline wouldn't fly, but things evolve so quickly.
Mm.
Another one that does come to mind is Martha. Martha was kind of the villain, wasn't she?
But she very quickly removed herself
from that world,
that dynamic that she had, because she had a friendship with Bronte and Jessica Power on the show.
Oh,
and they were like a little trio.
Right.
And I think she realized very quickly,
don't be mates
with
them.
That's not going to.
Mm-hmm. And then she ended up becoming, she did something like Wine with Martha or something with Channel 9.
Mm.
So, yeah, I guess she turned her villain edit around.
Yeah.
But, yeah, the others, yeah, I can't speak on anyone personally. I'm sure they have their strong opinions.
Yeah.
But don't you find it so funny when people come out and they got the hero edit? No one, they never have a problem with it.
No. They're okay with it.
Yeah, they're okay with it. They're like, yep, no, what you see is what you get. I am a hero. I am the hero. I need to be, I find that very funny.
Yeah. Well, once again, I am very sad and downtrodden that MAFS has come to an end, but we can still continue the conversation. If you have any questions, particularly for Alex, I feel, with her knowledge as a post-producer on MAFS, but also all these other reality TV shows, be sure to send them in. You can slide into our DMs anytime. Also, be sure to listen to our very first episode, which was released yesterday. If you are loving the podcast, please give us a 5-star review on Apple. Subscribe wherever you listen, and we will be back in your ears.
Follow us on Instagram. Follow us yes. on Instagram and message us on Instagram because we both check it. Yeah. And so anything that you message will be coming through straight to us. So we want to hear from you.
And we're both night owls and on our phones all the time. So you're sure to get a response. All right. We will be back in your ears later this week. Bye-bye.
Bye.